Hello everyone, John Thornett here again. Welcome to another episode of Speaking Pharmacy Podcast. So, how have you been? I hope life has been good for you all. We've just come to the end of all the 2018 tax lodgements now, so my team are probably a little bit tired now, but that's okay. But now we're heading into budgeting season, so now we get this month of setting out budgets for the next 12 months and seeing where people are going, so that's all exciting. But it's all good. Lots been happening. We've got a brilliant young lady who started with us this week by the name of Priya Narsing, and she's an awesome lady and brings with her a hell of a lot of talent regarding tax and pharmacy, and knows a hell of a lot about it, and we're very proud to have her on board. But today you're going to hear from this lovely, lovely lady. It's a lady who I admire a great deal when it comes to pharmacy owners. She's a very strong woman, a very determined lady. And one of the things I really like about what she does is each of her pharmacies have this very strong connection to community. And that's something that myself and my lovely marketing lady, Sarah, are very, very, very passionate about. And that really is that connection to community. And she does it so well. But she's very unique in how she goes about things. Now, typically, most people have this entry point into pharmacy business life of buying into a pharmacy. They become a partner in the one they're working for, or they meet up with someone and they partner with a friend and they go buy one. Now, this lovely young lady is very different. She's about to open her third greenfield site. There's not many people around who have the guts to go do something like that. So I welcome to the Speaking Pharmacy Podcast, Jana Pratico.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is exciting.
That was all really nice stuff you said about me.
Oh, it's nice, wasn't
it? So nice for Friday
yes,
as well.
Yes, I was very nice.
Feeling a bit flat on Friday after a long week. So that is wonderful. Thank you for having me and for Sarah for inviting me.
So you've gone down this quite unique path. I don't know too many people like you who have the guts to go and not only do it once as a first one, but then do it twice. Now you're about to do it three times. That's very unique, isn't it?
Yeah, unique. And I guess, I don't know if it's a good word to use, but opportunistic. Like you see an opportunity and you've just got to either grab it or somebody else will do it.
The art is seeing it.
That's right.
And so not everyone can see it.
Mm,
or it's seeing it, but then doing something about it as well.
Yes.
Because quite often we are our own worst enemies there, aren't we? You see something, it's a bit too hard, it's a bit this and a bit that, and come up with all sorts of excuses why we don't do it, whereas you just, right, let's go, let's figure it out.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And there's always a little part of me that's like, oh, I'm too busy already, you know, two shops already. So when this third shop opportunity came up, I went home to my partner. He already knows I'm nuts, so that's okay. And said, probably going to be doing a third store. And he just laughed. He just laughs, shakes his head and walks away now. I mean, he's used to it. He loves it. He thinks it's great. But I don't tend to sit there and think, oh, I can't do it because I'm so busy. I can't do it because I've got the two young kids.
Yeah.
I just do it and then figure it out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So to do it three times and be a mother.
Mm.
Hell of a combination, isn't it?
It's been challenging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Been challenging. Yeah. So I've got two children.
Yeah.
My little boy is six. My little girl is three.
The prince and the princess.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Pigeon pair. Very clever.
Yeah.
So they're very little.
Yeah.
My little girl's not in full-time school yet. So that's been a bit of a juggle.
Yes.
My little boy is in full-time school now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that's allowed me to, you know,
do
a lot more compared to when they were younger. But I mean, the first pharmacy I opened in Gidgeganup, my little boy was only two.
Yeah.
So that was a baptism
That's
of fire.
Hard work.
Oh, that
That's
was just
a lot
stupid.
Of hard work.
That was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was like juggling becoming a new mum and giving birth to a pharmacy at the same time. It's
That's
like
right.
having two children, as I've heard you talk about.
Yeah.
It's like having children, having these pharmacies. So
that
was very tricky.
So let's go back to the very beginning. Now, your parents were hairdressers.
Yes.
Tell me about that life then of you being brought up in the world of small business and having parents being business owners. What was that life like? What did that sort of teach you? Now you're into ownership and you reflect back on that time. What did that teach you?
I think it was just...
No, just an impromptu question. I haven't warned you about
this
one
yet. I think it's more that it was just the norm. It's what my parents did, so it's what I do. So I grew up in the hairdressing salon with my brother, and mainly with my sister, but my brother would tag along as well. He's a bit younger than us. But we were in there every Saturday from a young age because mum and dad would just take us to work when we weren't at school, and we were sweeping the floors. We were, washing colours. You know, I was actually halfway through an unofficial hairdressing apprenticeship, really, by the time of, I could actually do a fair bit of stuff. Yeah. But I guess in that environment, my parents, like, they are their business. They still have a business in Perth, but they are their business. So what I mean by that is the relationships they build with their clients. They know every single one, obviously by name, but beyond that, you know, how their husband's doing, what kids they have, how was their holiday, that they've just been on. It's just witnessing that from a young age and witnessing that relationship building that they have with their clients, and they still have with their clients. I mean, most of their clients have been with my parents for 30 plus years. So that was very inspiring to see. And that, but then that became the normal. I didn't actually know anything around that. And it wasn't until I then started working in pharmacy at 14. I was luckily enough to land in a pharmacy working on a Friday night where that was the same ethos as well. So the pharmacist who owned worked in the shop and knew everybody by name. And they would go and see their pharmacist.
So it really is your parental influence as a young girl drove into you that connection of community and relationships and chatting with people, being with people. And
absolutely. And still to this day, you know, mum and dad go above and beyond for their clients. You know, it's quite nice to see. I don't want to give them too much credit because I'll probably hear this podcast, but
it's one of those things that's sort of dying a little bit in business, isn't it? It's becoming too businessy, isn't it? And it's all about money and dollars and cents and the rewards we get of connecting with people and the relationships and those all that community that you have. It's been lost. Used to have that with the butcher, used to have that with the deli, and it's too much. It's becoming corporatized too much, isn't it?
It is. And I think loyalty started to go.
Yes.
I think that's the key.
And it's gone with it, hasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. I remember, you know, going back to my childhood, we'd have our butcher, we'd have our doctor, we'd have our pharmacist, like, and that's who I ended up working for. And you would go and see those people in those businesses rather than going to that business, if you understand what I'm saying. And so I guess with my stores, we'll probably touch on this a bit later, what I've tried to do and I think we've accomplished is creating these people within my business. So they go and see Ashley because she has young boys and, you know, is a mum and people trust what she says. Or they go and see Holly, the pharmacist, because she has had a baby recently. And it's about creating characters around my staff. That people can relate to.
So prior to your first one, obviously you're working as a pharmacist somewhere. What was the thought process and your thinking that made you decide, I'm working here, but I want to do this? What was the change? What was the... Because that's quite a gutsy move. It's quite a bold move. It's one of those things like marriage and buying your first car and your first house. It's one of those very big memorable moments that is exciting, but it's a very nervous decision as well. What made you get to that point?
So before I opened up Gidgee Ganup, I was actually working as a consulting pharmacist for Willark. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Willark. Willark, they do amazing dispensary workflow analysis. There's a plug for them. They're a great company.
Good on you, Willark.
Good on you, Willark. I worked with them for 5 years, and within that time I took a little bit of time off for maternity leave. And that opened my eyes up to many opportunities that lie within pharmacies and that pharmacy owners can implement. So workflow analysis, you know, time and motion studies, which is, you know, getting a little bit deeper into what we used to do there. But it just opened my eyes up to the fact that pharmacy needs to be done differently. So I learned a lot and made a lot of good connections, obviously, through that job. And then I, just one night, I was at home and I thought to myself, I wonder if there's a pharmacy out in Gidgee Ganup. It, that literally just came into my head, just a random, random thought. So left everyone at home, you know, got out in my car. It was 11 o'clock at night.
Jammies on,
Ugg boots. I did have my pajamas on, actually. Driving down Stoneville Road, hoping a roo won't hit me because, you know, that's terrifying.
Yes.
yeah, drove out to Gidgee Ganup to see what leases were or what shops were vacant. And there weren't any vacant. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit sad. So I drove back home, went through the pharmacy location handbook and from the ACPA and thought, yeah, I can actually put a pharmacy in Gidgee Ganup. I'm going to go back out there tomorrow in daylight, not in my pajamas.
Fair enough, yeah.
And actually talk to some people. So so I lived in the hills. As well, so Hills that was girl. My yeah, that was
like
my,
Sarah Hills Girls.
Hills Girls, yes. That's right. So we know the area pretty well. So went out the next day and I found a tiny little store with nothing in it in the Gidgee Ganup. I want to call it Gidgee Ganup Shopping Centre. It's not a shopping centre, but
no,
it's, you know,
it's not.
It's
really,
not.
No.
It's not. But it's there's an IGA there, a post office, a bottle shop, and a hairdresser. And that's about it, I think. And there was a tiny little shop at the back, like down the side, and it was 34 square metres.
That's tiny.
And it, yes, it was tiny.
Most
and
dispensaries are bigger than
I
that.
I know. And so I did some digging. I'm pretty resourceful, so I'm a bit of a detective. So if I want to find out something, I'll find it out. So I, you know, over the next few days, I, you know, was looking to see who owns this shop, and I found out it was a lovely lady called Mary, and it was just sitting there doing nothing. So I said to her, can I lease your shop? She said, what for? And I said, I want to put a pharmacy in here. And she laughed. She's like, you can't put a pharmacy in here. It's tiny. And I said,
you watch me.
You watch me. And then I guess that drink that brings back to the story of me working for Willark, you know, very efficient workspace design for pharmacy.
Did you understand at the time what you're getting into, like the risks that you're undertaking? Did that, what was it the forefront of your mind, or you just think, opportunity, let's just go?
Yeah, I'm a very opportunity, let's go, and then let's worry about the rest after and figure it out. Just to be, and with your first one as well, you know, you kind of
a little
go,
bit blind to
totally,
a lot of issues.
Totally blind. I mean, I had a fair idea. I was, you know, obviously I said I was consulting for Willark and I'd finished my MBA. So I kind of, I mean, MBA, great, but practical experience trumps that any day.
Yeah.
So that is, yeah, it was a baptism of fire.
Yeah. So tell me about that first year of being in business with a client base of nothing. Opening the doors, full of beans, let's go.
Very young and keen as well. So keen as well. And no doctor in town either.
Wow, that's really hard.
It was. It was.
So tell me about those first 12 months and what you learned.
I know you asked me to have a think about the first 12 months and I actually don't remember much of it. I know that sounds crazy. I remember the feelings I felt.
Yeah.
I remember the excitement.
Yeah.
The pride in that I opened up this shop.
Yeah, look what I've done.
Look what I've done.
Yeah.
working for myself, you know, that was a very cool thing. But then the hard reality set in that I was working for myself, you know, it's, and it was me in the shop working 6 days a week.
You had to make this work. You have to put food on the table.
And I mean, our loan we took out for that shop wasn't huge. I think we took out like $100,000 or something, you know, which in the grand scheme of things, looking back now, I'm like,
the fit out would have been rather small.
Yeah, I was like,
you can only spend so much on 34 square meters.
Exactly, exactly. So it was basically $100,000 loan for fit out stock, like other pharmacies.
And you think,
listening to this, that's a dream.
You think of those who $100,000 go start a pharmacy, and you think, I can't even get stock for that.
No, that's right. Yeah, so started it very lean as well. So I think from my educational background, that, you know, we did a lot of startup modeling back then, and that showed, you know, starting up lean, not over committing on equipment, you know, design, staff.
Yeah.
So there's all of these things which I was pretty good at, just leaning it out for the first year. But the challenge was in I was a part of that leaning out process because it was me working.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And me working, how many hours was I working a week? Because we're open 8:30 to 5:30. So that's 51 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, with a small child, it was no easy process.
It's a big week.
Yeah. It was a huge
week. And because there's no downtime when you get home either. It's just go, go, go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't really remember a lot. Yeah. I just remember how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you open Gidgeyganna. First one, doing all yourself.
Yes.
Young child, just one at that stage.
Yes, just,
one
just had my little boy. He was two.
Yep, so 2 year old. Let's just say you were a busy lady.
Yeah.
Why on earth did you go do the second?
Oh, because
that's,
I just...
one is hard enough.
Yeah.
Look at any business owner, and running one is hard enough.
Yeah.
And why go do two?
Because I'm a masochist. No, I just had this feeling about this shop in Mundaring. I know that sounds like I'm not a witch or a spiritual person, but I just
feeling. Is the business owner's intuition.
It is totally an intuition.
And I was having this discussion with someone yesterday who you know.
Yeah.
And that comes from life experience, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Of experience in business, of just that intuition of there's the opportunity, that's going to work.
Definitely.
There's no science, there's no formula, it's just,
that will do it.
Yep.
Yeah. So this shop, which I signed the lease for, I knew I wasn't going to get PBS approval right away, just due to the location rules.
Yep.
So I called up some friends over east who are consultants who'd helped me with the Gidgeyganna application. They were amazing. And said, do you think we could do ministerial here? They said, absolutely, we could go for ministerial here and we'd be very confident we'd get it. But it's going to be hard work.
You're a gutsy lady, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because it's not just small, it's not just, here's a store that's opened up and, premises like approval. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine.
No, so we signed and luckily for us, Gidgeyganna was doing so well that it was able to pay the rent on Mundaring for a year without, like it was an empty shop. I let friends like go in there and do pop-up shops for their clothing lines and sell flowers. And I was like, here's a free shop. Come, you know, come use it. So that was kind of nice. We did that often. I didn't make any money off that. That was just for fun. But yeah, so it was a whole year process for ministerial discretion.
Right. So what was that like?
Because
then you're fighting for that. Yep. You're running a pharmacy and you've been a mother.
I just had Allegra at that stage. So she was my little
girl. Oh, so you're a mother of two at that stage.
4 months old.
How do you do this?
Well, second time mum, right? You just kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I just,
you're breathing, you're
she's,
fine.
Yeah, she's portable. And I was, you know, breastfeeding. So she just, I have these memories though. So when you go for ministerial, people think it's just, oh yeah, we'll just apply. No, it's not like that at all. You need to get signatures, like petitions.
Yeah.
So my consultant said we want minimum 4,000 signatures.
Wow.
So
how did you go about all that?
Stood out the front of Coles in Mundaring. and got signatures.
Wow, really?
Literally, talk to people, talk to the community. I had a baby there. They probably felt sorry for me as well.
Very good marketing. Very good marketing.
Yeah, sign this form for my baby. But yeah, just stood out there, talked to people, talked about what we wanted to open there, why it would be different from what's on offer currently.
Yeah.
What was on offer currently up in the hills. And that was a really, I loved that experience because then once it was approved, once I think it was the minister, Susan Lay, once yes. she granted us our approval, the whole community were, that had supported us were just instant customers.
Yeah.
So I think,
yeah,
any advice for people looking at going at ministerial, it's not easy. You're not guaranteed it.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of hard work to get there. There's a lot of
hard work to get there. Yeah. But at the same time, if you think you've got a good chance in getting it, and let consultants decide that, you don't decide that, it's a great way to build up a brand and a profile before you even open the door.
So how did you approach Mundaring from your lessons from Gidji?
Very differently, obviously. It was a bigger store as well, Mundaring. So that was harder for me. I found Mundaring harder than Gidji Gunup.
Yeah.
Because it was then, okay, do I go for a brand? Do I stay an independent like I had at Gidji Gunup?
Mm.
What do I do with this? It's a big space. It's a big population. And it's just me doing it. Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah.
And so I spoke to all of the brands, you know, chat, you know, what could you bring? What could you offer? And none of it just lined up with my values and what I wanted to provide my community. And I lived in that community. Actually, that's
a very interesting point you just made, is that you were aware of your values.
Yeah.
Before you went into it.
Yeah,
which definitely. Is actually very unique because if I ask most business owners, give me your top five values in life, they won't be able to answer it.
No.
It's just interesting that you're aware of your values and what you're wanting to achieve out of something before you go into it.
I think that's essential. Because then it makes your decision-making process at every point really easy. Yeah.
For a lot of them, it's lacking, actually.
Yeah.
It's actually quite... the majority probably don't have that or don't realise it or... simply unable to answer the question.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, it is very interesting. Yeah,
and your values change as well.
Oh, they do.
They're fluid, they do. Right? Yeah. It's so, you know, so what mine were back then,
yeah,
they're not now. Mm. There might be a couple that cross over, but it's, but I just knew what I wanted for that store and a brand wasn't, I could get a bit from each brand, but not one brand was going to give that to me.
Yep.
So I thought I'd just brand it myself.
And that is such a great approach of knowing what you wanted to achieve. You already had the vision. You already had the goal. And therefore, the decision is who's going to help me in my journey to achieve my goal. Whereas for a lot of others, it's very different. Is which is the brand that's just going to make me the most amount of money?
Yeah.
It's a very different approach. But yours makes a lot of sense because you knew what you wanted to achieve. You knew what your vision was.
Yep.
That's so powerful, isn't it?
It is powerful and it works.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I mean, we had to carefully curate what we were going to put into that store.
Yeah.
You know, at first I didn't have many of the brands that most pharmacies would keep because it was just a bit saturated.
Yeah.
So for example, some of the key vitamin ranges, you know, Blackmores, Nature's Own, I just went, not having it because it's everywhere. It's in Coles, which is next door to me. Yep. It's heavily discounted.
So why bother? Yeah.
So I didn't have that. But then I, 6 months later of out of trading, it's that brand recognition that people like to see when they come into a pharmacy.
Yeah.
So they like to see... Even if they're not going to buy it, it was just more some survey kind of stuff that I did within the store. If they didn't see the Blackmores there, they weren't sure if it was even a pharmacy. Not to that extent, but, you know.
Yeah, not too much.
So then we had to revise things and introduce some brands that people recognize to kind of give it legitimacy.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. But you know what I mean? To make it more legitimate.
Yeah. 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 And so here you are, young mother, two pharmacies, ticking away, doing your best, running businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And before too long, now we got a third one coming.
Yes.
Middle you of love the an opportunity, feet. Don't you?
Yeah, and I just love building new pharmacies. It's so fun.
What do you like about it?
A project from the ground up
to
then having patients walking through your door is just the coolest feeling. And creating it from scratch yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever buy an existing pharmacy now. I mean, never say never, but I would find it pretty challenging.
Yeah.
Because I believe in what I do, and I believe in my, you know, coming up with my brand and my strategy around marketing, and I know it works and it's strong.
Yeah.
And it's local area focused. So I would find it really hard stepping into a pharmacy that I hadn't done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I suppose the love won't be as strong.
Yeah.
Because you haven't conceived this business and raised this thing from dust.
Yeah.
Whereas someone that's already there, I think, well, this is someone else's.
That's right.
So I suppose it's not the same degree of love and emotion that you would attach to it.
No, that's right. And this site's pretty special because this is my first... First of a couple of things. First partnership.
Yes.
I'm doing it with a dear friend of mine.
Yep.
Hi, Will, if you're listening to this. He's amazing and we complement each other.
Yep.
And get along really well. So
that's really good.
It's
really, really
good. It's a good partnership. Yeah. Yep. And secondly, it's in a medical centre.
Yep.
Large super clinic.
Yep.
Or next door to a large super clinic.
Yep.
With a huge emphasis on integrative health.
Yep.
So we're putting a compounding lab in there.
Yes.
I don't know how to compound. So, you know, it's just another thing that Will's I'm learning. But that's
Will's strength though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what he's really good at.
Will's the best compounder in Australia, I'd say, hands down. So, learning something new. I always love learning new things.
Thank you very much. We'll be back at another stage, at some stage soon, for another episode. So thank you kindly. Talk soon. Bye.